It's so good. You'll have your worksheets. We're having our covenant seminar. This is the time to get out your worksheets. We hand out the worksheets so that you can study those during the week and that you can bring them on the Sunday and then have that updated. If you didn't bring your worksheet, which I know you all did, but just let's say one of you didn't, the guide, the outline's on the back of the bulletin, so you can refer to that. But as way of punitive measurement and punishment, it's not a complete guide. So you can look on the back, and then you can look up. Teresa says, don't say that. No. She always says, don't say that. People don't know you're kidding. Who's kidding? I'm excited about the covenants, and I love talking about them, as you may have told, can tell. And today you see in your bulletin the name of the sermon is God's Goal. Do you ever think that God has a goal? Well, he does. You know, God's going somewhere with this project, with his creation. He's taking it somewhere. We are intimately involved in that. And the way God reaches his goal is those three things that you see in your bulletin. He redeems, and then he gives, and then he uses. It doesn't stop with redeeming. Redeeming is the beginning. Then he gives after he redeems, and then he uses. And I think that what has happened to the, what I've seen happen to the Christian faith over my tenure in the church is, I think that God's people have lost sight of the goal and the purpose. And I remember Kennedy's inaugural address. Yeah, I remember it. And that's the famous line in there, if you remember. What did he say? That is repeated over and over. Yes, exactly, Brock. He said, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. You think our country is still that way? You see, what Kennedy did there, and Kennedy was a strong leader. What he did there, he gave people a gift, actually. He gave people a gift in this country, and the gift that he gave was, we were made so that we should be goal-oriented. If you have a goal, and that's what Kennedy did with people. He said, you have a goal, and your goal is to do something for your country. And if you have that goal, you will then set up a plan or a path to reach that goal. And it's better for you. That's how we're wired. That's what we're made to do. If you don't have goals, and you're just floundering through life without any kind of a path you're following or any kind of a goal, you lose part of your humanity. Now, what has happened to our nation? There's been a paradigm shift, and instead of the same party, I'm afraid, instead of asking that question, now the question is, what's your country going to do for you? And what has happened to people when they have that? They lose part of their humanity. Because instead of thinking that they're involved, you see, they're part of the game, that they're important, and that they need to have a goal, and they need to be on a path to accomplishing something and doing something productive for their country, now the thinking is, I don't have to do anything. I told Teresa, people are content if they've got their DVDs and their cheeseburgers for that night. I mean, I'm afraid that's what we've come to in a large extent. And has it hurt our nation? What do you think? Has it hurt our country? Has it hurt individuals? Absolutely has. Because now it's all, what is the country, what is the government? There's a big phrase. What's the government going to do for me? Let me disabuse you of something. This is really a political rant right now. When you say that phrase, what's the government going to do, go look in the mirror, because the government is you. What's the government going to give me? What you're saying to me is, what are you, Tim, going to give me? The government doesn't produce anything. The government takes our stuff and gives it. So we have got into this trap that has given people less than living, and they're sitting around waiting to see what the government's going to do for them. And it's hurt our nation tremendously, and it's hurt people tremendously. That's happened to our faith. We've lost sight of the goal as God's people. The idea, not always and not everybody by any means, but to a large extent, the faith has devolved into, I'm redeemed because I've made this decision, I've signed this card, I've accepted Christ. Now I sit back, and what is God going to do for me? Not what can I do for God. We were made for God's own use. Our redemption is for a purpose. Redeemed, and then we're given something, and then we're used by God. If your faith is meaningless and you're just floating on it like a ship with no navigation, and you don't know what you're doing, don't know why you're doing this thing, it's because you've lost sight, I think, of the goal. See, that's my job. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep hounding you on this. I'm going to keep driving that nail. That your faith has a purpose, and your faith has a goal, and your goal is God's goal. And you are very important. You are integral to this plan. That's why we talk about these Christmas boxes. You want a blessing? You get those Christmas boxes, and you fill four of those boxes, and you send them off to these kids that have nothing. Because Jesus made it absolutely, eminently clear, if you don't do this, it's not going to get done. And he said, when you do it, you do it for me. Instead of me being there doing it, you're doing it for me. And it's important that we keep our feet to the fire, so to speak, and we keep on mission. What is God's goal? Well, I'm going to sum it up for you. And this is a phrase that you hear over and over in Scripture. You hear it at the beginning, you hear it at the end of the book. And that is, God's goal is this, very simple. I will be your God, and you will be my people. That's where God's going. That's his goal. That's what he wants to have happen. Now, you see that on your worksheet. You see that at the top there, consumer Christianity or vocational Christianity. And underneath it says, is he your God, and are you one of his people? And all that entails. And what it entails is massive. So what is God's goal? Well, let's look at the first, number one, list by review. The purpose of our faith. You see that? Revelation 5, verses 9 and 10. What a great, succinct two verses that tell us everything that God is planning and what he wants to do. And we look at verse 10, and we see God's goal. You made them a kingdom of priests to our God, and they will reign on the earth. That's his goal. And we do that reigning equipped with him as our God and we as his people. Now, how does God bring that to bear? You have goals, don't you? Inga's a very goal-oriented young woman. I would say that. Inga has a goal. Believe me, it's going to get done. And in order to do that, Inga had a goal of being an AA, anesthesiology assistant. And so Tom and Inga set out on a path to reach this goal. They uprooted themselves from Columbus. They went up to Cleveland. They have a 2-year period up there. But you see, Inga didn't just have this goal. Inga was willing, and Tommy were willing, to do what was necessary to reach that goal. And it involved following a particular path. Now, I'm going to throw a question out to you. Are you following the path outlined by God so that you reach the goal that he has for you? What's the goal that he has for you? You're going to be a kingdom, a priest, and a holy nation, and you're going to reign as kings on this earth. Do you think that might require a wee bit of preparation? Do you think that there's a particular path that you're going to need to follow in order to accomplish that? Of course there is. Are you on that path? Or are you just redeemed and sitting back waiting for God to act, God to do something? What did God decide? What was the pathway he laid down so that he would reach the goal? The covenants. The old covenant and the new covenant. So there's God's goal. Now we look at number two. What's the purpose of the old covenant? Oh, the old covenant, Tim, that's not relevant anymore. That's law. You're legalistic. That's Old Testament. We don't even read the Old Testament. Doesn't matter. Oh, I've got to tell you, au contraire, it matters very much. Because what do you see when you read number two there and you read the old covenant? What do you see as the goal of the old covenant? Do you see a similarity? We find when we read the old covenant that it was designed to do just that, to create a kingdom of priests and a holy nation who will reign on the earth. They were to do exactly what God had planned to do with his people all along. That's the old covenant's plan. They were to listen. You see that? They were to listen and they were to carefully keep. Listen and carefully keep. You know what else I thought when I was studying this? How many times when we read the New Testament do you remember Jesus saying, if you have ears, you should listen? Remember him saying that over and over again? Nothing has changed. But here's the old covenant was designed that if they did that, if they listened, and if they carefully kept, they would accomplish God's goal. They would be a kingdom, a priest, and a holy nation. They would rule on the earth. What word is in there, though? Look at the first two words. What are the first two words there? Now, if. You see that? In other words, the old covenant said, now, if you will listen and carefully keep my covenant, you will be my people, and I will be your God. The word here that is missing later on in the covenant, if. There was a contingent. They had to do something. It was, when you read this, it seems as if it could fail. Because it was dependent, in order for this covenant to come to fruition, in order for God to reach his goal through this covenant, it was dependent on people being able